Thank you so much. So here we are again, live over the internet through VBS Radio. Good evening to you on this Wednesday, January the 27th, 2021. Questions and answers with the Elohim. If you have questions, you can submit them per email to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And Winfrey will go through the questions during live during the call over here, and he will submit those questions to our sources on the other side of the veil through Terry Brown. We had someone else join in. As usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. Someone called on the phone line. If you want to, feel free to say name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Welcome, John.
Hello. Hi.
Good to have you. And the next caller, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Joni in St. Louis.
Good evening, Joni. Welcome.
Thank you.
Two more people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
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 And who else joined in? Feel free to say name and location.
Hi, hi, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody. Hi, Terry.
Good evening,
hi.
Don.
Welcome.
Hi, Don.
All right, and welcome to all your folks listening in online through VBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And right after this show, we will go on to another conference call, only per phone. That is our daily whole planet healing call. And you can find the information to call in at wholeplanethealing.com. Someone else joined in over here. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, hi, hi.
All right. And for those of you online that want to make a note of the phone number, I'm going to give it to you next. For the Whole Planet Healing Call, 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific. The phone number is 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250-513-POUND. 712-770-4340, access code 250-513-POUND. And we mingle together around 7 p.m. every day, Pacific time, and around a little while in there, we mute the phone lines, we do the invocation to call in a protected space. We have a reading from channel materials, and usually we open up the phone lines where we all can put issues into this energy field for salvation, for remediation, just worldly global issues. And when after that we close the phone lines, we mute the phone lines, when there's a general round of the world on putting issues into the love light. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to you, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hey, Roger. I heard some big corporations are moving out of California to Austin. Heard anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
It's been happening for a while already, right?
Tesla is opening a gigantic plant here. They're going to make cars and batteries.
Right.
And satellites.
Samsung is moving to a new multi-billion dollar facility over here. They're already here, but they're adding on to it. It's putting a lot of pressure on housing prices.
Yeah.
A one-bedroom apartment in Austin runs $300 a month.
Wow.
Well, there won't be any poor people living in Austin much longer.
Yeah, there's a lot more poor people now, and they're living in tents outdoors.
Mm.
Thanks, tech companies. I've heard that a lot of places, like Seattle. Same thing happened. A lot of tech companies moved up there and drove all the less affluent people out of their homes and stuff.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome, Wynn.
Hi,
Sedona.
Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
So we're live on BBS Radio, and you're only 6 minutes late. Thank you for being here.
What's worrying a lot of people in Austin is that we're getting a lot of Californians coming over here, and they're bringing their California values along with them.
Oh, boy.
A lack of values.
Right.
You mean they miss a Democrat?
Yeah, we have 100% Democrat city council and mayor.
Oh, wow.
How you do?
And they're buying hotels to put the homeless people in. They've bought 23 hotels so far.
Wow, that's good.
Wow.
And who's paying for it?
You are.
Who? And they just passed a $7 billion railroad project.
Yeah, they need a high-speed train to get all the homeless people to Austin to live in the hotels.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody said that Trump declared bankruptcy for the corporate government. Anybody else hear that?
I don't know. It'll just be another a long string of of bankruptcies, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, the corporate United States of America corporation became defunct back in October.
Right.
Yeah, most recently.
Now, the state of Texas has a certain right to become its own country, right? Isn't that so, Roger?
Say that again.
I heard in the past when I was in Texas, somebody told me there that Texas, when the states, United States, were united, Texas kept the right to themselves to remain eventually independent. We had someone else join in. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Hi, this is Debbie, Costa Mesa. Hi, hi.
Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you,
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Terry. Hi,
hi. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi.
Texas used to be the something of Texas. It was his own.
All right.
And then thing. I can't think of the word, though. Roger should know it.
Yeah, I don't know everything. But that, I think you're right about that, that when the state was chartered as a state, they retained the right to secede and go back to becoming an independent nation.
Right.
A few years was an independent republic.
Yeah, republic. That's what it was, Republic of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, Hawaii. Hawaii used to be a kingdom. I've heard people suggest it was going back to being an independent.
Hawaii was a kingdom?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Wanda from Saskatchewan.
Hi, Wanda.
Welcome, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Wanda.
And welcome to the next caller. Feel free to say your name and location. Mm-hmm. But, of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
You never heard of King Kamehameha? Ice?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
No.
A person I like from Hawaii is Tulsi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's on it. She's on it. Yeah. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Edna. Good evening.
Guten Abend, Edna. It's welcome, Adi.
Thank you,
sir.
Hi,
Edna.
Hi,
Edna. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Who is that person from Hawaii? Who is that person from Hawaii that you mentioned?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Who's she?
She ran for president.
Oh, yeah, it sounds familiar, sort of.
But she's in the news.
I don't know every.
With the Epoch Times a lot.
Okay.
Welcome to the next call. Appreciate your name and location.
Yeah, hi, it's Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Lauren.
Sorry, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Phyllis.
Hi, Lauren. Yeah.
I mean, Joy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, joyful Phyllis.
Hello, Don.
All right, and welcome to all you guys listening in online through BBS Radio. It is 6:11 on this beautiful Wednesday night. I think it's a beautiful night.
Mm-hmm. And trying to get cracking, right, Terry?
We want to try to get cracking over here, yeah. Crack the cracking.
Yep.
I thank everyone for being here, and especially Terry and Wynn for being the big parts of making this all happening.
I thank you for the Elohim for looking over us and coming in and interacting.
And the
absolutely, yes.
Yes, and also the aspect of the Rao group that also comes in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Ra.
Yes.
And thank you, Mother Earth.
Oh, yes. Mother Earth is here. She is here with us.
And thank you, Christ.
Yes. The Christ consciousness that helps us keep our alignment.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we have some questions from you. We have some questions from me. And there's room for more questions. You guys are getting a great opportunity because oftentimes the same people ask questions. And some of you should take advantage of it, you know. Just looking over the questions. And Terry's not ready, right? Are you ready, Terry?
No, I'm never ready. I'm never ready. Because they never know what we're going to do. Like when I was the lead in the senior play, I wasn't ready either, but I did memorize my lines. But here, I don't have lines to memorize.
Yeah, I think the fact that we do this the way we do, and you can possibly make up these answers, because people sometimes think somebody makes up the answers, and a skeptic. I would think that. First time I heard something.
Yeah, sometimes I think people think that, you know, that I'm trying to think of an answer. But, what you know, they give me concepts, and then I'm trying my darndest to figure out how to express them and what words are. And they say, you know, could I please learn more words? Anyway, it's a good education.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here this day and are apportioning our structure, our energies, to include each and every person on the line who wishes to be included or to make contact with us. We don't go to the telephone line or to the computer. That's where the voice comes from. We come directly to each and every one of you. We are not monaural or unilateral. We can do many, many things at the same time. And we come directly to you, so it's a little bit faster than the voice. You may feel our energy just an instant before you hear the voice. We are here to assist. We are an aspect of the Ra group and an aspect of the Elohim group that have come together to assist in this very difficult third density realm, which is sometimes hard to negotiate. Major lessons can be learned in these realms in your life. And we come to assist wherever we see an opportunity. We usually ask questions, and then you ask your question, and we give our answer as we can to help assist you in your path, to find your path as you move through these difficult times on the planet at this time. If we ever see anything that doesn't make total sense or you can't use it, then disregard it. It is not really for you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Wynn. And when we call in the light, do any other sources come in and support us and pay attention to us besides the Elohim and Ra? And are they picking up on our soul streams? And can the negative do that as well?
When you give your invocation and you ask that any negative activity must be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the good of all concerned, then this is a very good safeguard towards having a pure light energy, a pure source of positivity and assistance. And it helps to weed out negative sources. Do you have other sources that come in on the positive flow? Yes. People have guides and angels, and they can also come in on these positive flows and hold energy for you and assist. So the answer is yes, other positive sources can come in. Can negative sources come in? They would need to be focused on and brought in, but they are left out by your magnificent invocation. They leave.
Do the words in the invocation keep them away, or is it the intent of the word?
It is the intention. The intention of the words are embodied in the words, and they leave. We send them away.
Mm-hmm. So you're part of sending them away?
Yes.
Okay.
As are the law group, the angels, and all of the positive aspects that have come to you. And as the people, send them away also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question, another one for me, is it's been said that the third density is a place where you can learn and grow faster than in other realms. And could you confirm if this is true and why it's true, if it is?
Well, this could be true. That some other realms you can also learn in. They have tools in, say, the crystal realm that you can observe. people in the third density realm and speed up their actions and see what it is exactly that leads into negative karma. We also see that if a person has negativity on their track or has practiced negative things, then they can see the results in their life, or it can be something that carries down from their past life. And these negative results are guiding them in. It's often because they have made some decisions, or they see things in a certain way that require negativity as a response, and it isn't necessarily true, and they keep expressing that over and over in lifetime and lifetime until they finally get the idea that this is not working. So that is one of the ways that the third density can be in your lifetime, can teach you what works, what doesn't work. What works isn't necessarily taking bribes and accepting a lot of money and having a lot of money that makes things seem easier. But then that has its own down karma side, and it can lead you to lessons you really didn't really want to take part in. That's a little bit about it.
Thank you. I remember I heard one person say that, possessions are such a motivation for so many people in this realm. But they were explaining that possessions can cause you to pay a lot of attention to them. In other words, if you have a really big house, it has to be maintained. Whatever you need, it needs to be cleaned. And then the possessions, you need more money to maintain the possessions. So you're chasing your tail, and you're not getting free out of that matrix. Is there truth in that?
One can become obsessed with obsessions and the necessity of food and shelter, and can put it above morality, which then can lead them down the slippery slope to what they really hope and wish for becomes a faded memory and shallow and not achievable because they've given up the pathway to true love and true commitment and true morality, so that can lead them into a very unfulfilled life.
Mm-hmm. And last question. Have you ever talked to anybody in this realm where it started off good and then they got self-aggrandizing and started to screw up?
We don't wish to focus on that. We have had places where we have talked to people that were acting in this realm, and we placed great hope in them, and they then went astray and would use our information in a way that we, like, for instance, a priest, and we would work with the priest, and then the priest would begin to use the information, saying it was his information, and he was acting like the one that, as if he was the one infinite creator, he was a god. And
yes.
When this, we see this, then we begin to pull our support away. We are big on truth and morality.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Next question is from, we have two questions about dreams today from two different people. Probably end up being a lot of overlap, but Don Herman asks, could the sources explain a little bit about dreaming and the nature of the dream state? And I would add to that, and how important is it to try to remember your dreams?
It is helpful to remember your dreams. There are essentially, there are three kinds of dreams. One of the kinds of the dreams is where you are attempting to work through some kind of a problem you've been having or a situation you've been having, like, how do I handle my kids? My kids are teenagers. How do I keep them off drugs? How do I teach them to have morals? And then you might have dreams in which you try this or you talk to them in a certain way, and you try that, and you talk to them in a certain way, and then you work through situations in your dream as you are attempting to find out more about how to handle certain situations. Another type of a dream is if you have a premonition, like that you dream that maybe the house burned down. And this can be a clue that maybe you should check your house and see if there's anything in your house that needs to be attended to, a furnace or a flu, or just, you know, see where the dream was in your house. It was in the entryway. Check out the entryway. Check the basement under the entryway. Sometimes this even comes to daydreams where you might have a vision in your waking hours of something that might be a premonition of something that needs to be attended to, and if it's not, that it could result like the premonition is showing you. Then the third kind of a dream, which would be very important type of dream, where you get message from spirit. And spirit is bringing you vital information that you can use. And so when you write down your dreams then you remember them, then they don't just fade out and disappear, and you can begin to perhaps see what the message is from spirit. Many dreams are a message from spirit, like the Elohim or the Ra group or us being coming in and giving you a message that of something you need to know or that would help you in your path. So message from spirit is very important. And when you write your dreams down, then you can begin to check within your life and what's going on in your life, and seeing if this is something that could help in the management and the progress of your life. So those are a little bit about dreams.
Are most dreams in the astral plane?
They're in your sphere, within your own soul complex. Not necessarily, they may be in the astral plane. Like you might dream that you left your body and you went and looked over the fields and saw the snow and the moonlight. Like that could be in the astral. And it mm-hmm. could be an actual event where you actually went exterior while you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be in your own self, your own mind complex.
And I remember reading about some tribe that had particular ceremonies, and they would all have the same dream, and they would all be in each other's dreams. Where are those dreams happening?
The individuals would actually attempt to dream. Like if they were in a village in the South Pacific and they wanted to get together and all dream of the fish biting and catching a good number of fish so that they all could have a similar goal, a similar vision of outcome, alliance with each other, all working together to have a very good harvest of fish. That might be something that they would all get together in the same room, even, and then attempt to dream the dream, and they are able to achieve that, and then it makes them a stronger possibility of getting a good catch.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question then. Where are those dreams taking place?
They could be taking place in the astral, or in the, or out at the sea, or under the sea, or they, wherever the focus is. Or they could be within the room with the people imagining in their dreams the good fish catch.
Mm-hmm. And do dreams ever take place in fifth or sixth density?
They can come from the fifth or sixth density, or they could be a soul traveler going into those densities and dreaming a dream.
Mm-hmm. And last question. When you're dreaming, can a higher being, either negative or positive, access your dream and walk into it?
Can your question is a negative or a positive?
No,
like
no,
another
no.
Another being walk into your dream?
A negative or positive being, a negative polarity or a positive polarity. In other words, you're having an independent dream. And something else.
It would depend upon how open you were to it. Like if there was a witch down the street and was in somehow competition to you and was doing voodoo or some sort of spell, you know, negativity could be so imbued in your space that it does get into your dream.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. The next question is from, hang on here, Mark Sonnenberg in Ireland. Last week, a person asked about his connection with the Elohim and when added any other high realm. The traditional word concept for source is Tao, T-A-O. That's actually, I think, a Chinese concept, the Tao, sometimes called the Way. I'm trying to remember. Do you know the definition of Tao?
Hmm.
Let me look it up.
There
okay.
is. Yeah.
I mean, there's a famous book of Chinese wisdom, which I had read, called the Tao Te Ching, that, let's see. I'm looking it up and. The word Tao has a variety of meanings in both ancient and modern Chinese language. Aside from its purely prosaic use to mean road, channel, path, principle, or similar, the word has a variety of differing and often confusing metaphysical, philosophical, and religious views. Let me just see what else they say about that. That's Wikipedia. Some scholars make sharp distinctions between moral or ethical usage of the word Tao that is prominent in Confucianism and religious Taoism, and the more metaphysical usage of the term used in philosophical Taoism and most forms of Mahayana Buddhism. Others maintain these are not separate use images or meanings. Seeing them as mutually inclusive and compatible approaches to defining the principle. The original use of the term was as a form of praxis rather than theory. The term used as a convention to refer to something that otherwise cannot be discussed in words, and early writings such as the Tao Te Ching and the I Ching made pains to distinguish between conceptions of the Tao, sometimes referred to as the name Tao, and the Tao itself, the unnamed Tao, which cannot be expressed or understood in language. My own experience of that word, when I was reading the Tao Te Ching and the I Ching, was that as one accessed a higher part of their matrix, they could establish a flow in their life. And that flow would use the word Tao. And it was not something that was linear or that you could understand intellectually. But the idea was to create something in language that could trigger a person to get into the flow, a higher flow. In any case, I'll turn it over to you, and you can...
Thank you. There is a matrix that is beyond the thought process, and the matrix can be beyond a consensus reality, but a structure that everything follows, that everything is oriented into, which would be a path, but it would be beyond the description of what the path would be. That could be considered the way that was the more undescribable way. But then the other way would be their own particular path through Earth, through their life, through their specific things that they get involved with and they practice and they do. So there's those two things.
Well, the I Ching always refers to what they call the superior man, indicating to me the superior man. It was like there was a matrix above the 3D matrix, and that it's just right above us. And if we tapped into that matrix, we would be operating as the superior man. There would be a respect for all life and a flow through life.
One could negotiate through that and have some control over it rather than to just be the subject of its control.
Right, right. And then you start having synchronicities as well.
And yes, and that is one of the reasons that the I Ching works. Because mm-hmm. you are tapping into the higher matrix.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And Hayes asks, in what density is the crystal realm?
We see it as D7.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody came from the crystal realm, is there the potential when they're sleeping to go back into that realm?
If they have lived there and had lives there, they can do that. It's very possible that they could either through memory or through actual physical movement into it, can go visit it.
Mm-hmm. If you had other lifetimes with a person where you had a very high connection with them, is there a possibility or even a likelihood that you might meet them in a dream state?
Well, that is possible. They might come and visit you in your dreams.
Is it likely?
It just totally depends upon the lifetime and the orientation of the person and the strength of the relationship with the other person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Next question here is from Valerie in Livermore. After my father died, he came to me on the front porch. I told him I was busy. Hold on.
Yes.
I don't know why she told him he was busy, but in any case... Well, I remember Valerie has had visitations from her father quite often, right?
Yes.
As I recall. And then I realized he was really... Yeah. And then I realized he was really there in a physical body asking me to tell his younger sister what my cousin would like as a sign. I liked Valerie's father. He's playful.
Yes.
And he's experimental.
Yes.
He's fun-loving. Fun-loving, right. I remember one time, Carrie was channeling for someone on the East Coast whose son died. And then... did she ask for a sign or something? Communication from him? Do you remember,
Carrie? And he turned on a touch light.
And he kept turning on the touch light.
Yes, that didn't work before.
And then she asked about it. And
on Mother's Day, he did.
Yeah, that was him making connection. Okay, continuing with Valerie, I freaked for a second. It found us both in the driveway. I asked my father, why do you have two coats on? I didn't see two coats, but I said it. His reply was, it's easier to see beyond the veil. fume. So that's what's up with the coats and the veil. Now, of course, I don't understand the answer. It's easier to see beyond the veil with two coats. But in any case, that's what he says.
With the first coat, you can cover the veil, and then you can look beyond it with the second coat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see here. I'm looking to see. All right. Hives has another question here. Where'd it go? Hang on. Hang on.
No pressure, Vin, but the Elohim are busy folks.
Say that again?
I said no pressure, but the Elohim are busy folks.
The Elohim are...
busy folks.
Oh, they're busy folks.
We remember we can do many things at the same time. So it is not like unilaterally doing one thing, then another, very busy. We can expand our view to expand many things at the same time.
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, now I have your question, Hive. Those in heaven for consultation, are all of them from planet Earth? What's on average the population in heaven? Now, you know what? It seems to me different planets have different heavens. And, I mean, I don't know, but it's probably segmented like that. It would have to be a huge population to work with all the beings in a particular 3D realm. Of course, it's probably more complicated than that, but let me turn it over to our sources.
So what is the question?
The question is... are all the beings in heaven originally from the Earth realm?
No.
And how many many beings are in heaven?
No. Not all the beings in heaven are from the Earth realm, as some of them are, say, from the crystal realm that come into heaven to participate. Some come from other planets to participate. There is some interaction between realms and the heaven realm, as someone may come there to help people that arrive there from Earth, and other planets may have other groups, soul groups, that interact to have angels in heaven for that particular realm with the particular understandings of that particular sector. So It isn't just one. One heaven with the people manning it or angels manning it have been on earth. In fact, as individuals have been on earth, they have a harder time to become an angel because of the particular lower frequencies that they have learned in the management of their life and their properties in the earth realm. So many angels come from higher realms and come to heaven to take part.
Mm-hmm. Now, when an angel comes from a higher realm to and is now working, trying to clear people, is he working at a disadvantage because he doesn't have the experience of the realm of the distortions of the person?
Yes, he may not understand at all why the person is so riveted or fixated on certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, it's time to end this call. We got 1 minute till 8. We thank everybody.
And you forgot my call. You forgot my question, Wynn. You didn't read it.
Could we read it really fast?
Yeah, it's fast, yeah.
Do you have it, Wynn?
Let me ask you a question, John.
We're just looking here. Just a moment.
Because it was like
perhaps
5 o'clock.
John could read his question?
Oh, wait a second. There it is. All right, we're going to say goodbye to everybody at BBS, and we'll just ask John's question here. Several years ago, my landlady's cat, Fluffy, passed away. About a year later, I had a dream where this black cat visited me and had neon blue wings on his fur. Was this cat Fluffy that visited me in my dreams? Did Fluffy reincarnate? If so, can you tell me more? If Fluffy did not reincarnate, did Fluffy graduate and become part of the Ra group? Now, you know, I think this is a complicated question here because we have never talked about animals graduating. I do think animal souls continue, but not in the same way human souls. But I haven't asked those questions. And it's a complex topic.
Well, Fluffy did continue as a spirit, and Fluffy did come and visit you. Yes.
Did okay.
Fluffy reincarnate? Fluffy would like to reincarnate and may reincarnate at some point.
Okay. So, on that note, we're going to end this call. If you want to ask further questions next week, John, just please add them. Sorry I missed your question. Okay? And on that note, hi.
Unmuted.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Winter.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all.
We're going to the whole planet healing, 712-770. What's that?
I said, thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Terry.
712-770-4340 in 250-513. We'll see you in a moment. Okay.
Goodbye.